Well, we've been in a series for a little while now, and of course it's one that sort of captures so much of the average Christian life, the average Christian experience, and of course it's that call of God to growth, that call of God to grow as Christians. And of course maturity is a condition that we don't arrive at, it's more like something that we continue in. It's a journey, maturity. It's not actually a destination. You know, the Apostle Peter tells us to desire the sincere milk of the word so that we what may grow by it. You know, desire that sincere milk. And the truth of it is that we all have that same starting place. We've all been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. There's been something done on the inside of us. I was just sharing in the prayer meeting how I like to go back to that and remind myself about that new life. Even though it be so many years ago, that day that I woke up after I came into a new relationship with Jesus Christ, remember what that felt like. The Bible says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You know, something always lively and new comes from those recollections, just realizing. Some of you are still walking in that newness now and you're still just loving that newness. Whatever you do, don't let it become old to you. Make sure you keep walking up, stirring in that newness. It's so important. And of course, the Word of God continues to give us that sustenance as we move forward and add to us what is needed for our Christian growth into Christ-likeness. That's where we're headed. We're headed into being more like Jesus. And that's so important. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, it says there, "As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." You know, it's just as we continue to give ourselves to the Word of God, you know, that daily devotion. It might be an app. It might be the word of the day. It might be, you know, a scripture schedule that you're reading your way through. Whatever it is, make sure you give yourself to it as if there's life in it, because that's where God will speak to you. That expectation. Remember, we always draw on what God has for us through an expectation. You know, so it's how we go to that word. Don't go to it as a chore. Oh, well, I guess I have to read my word for the day. You know, don't go to the word of, you know, God that way. Go with a huge expectation to get something fresh and new for yourself for that day. Amen. I like what the New Living Translation says. It says, "Like newborn babes, you must crave spiritual milk, pure spiritual milk, so that you may grow into a full experience of salvation." Cry out for this nourishment. In other words, let that be the yearning of your spirit, crying out for that newness. And whatever you do, don't let yourself get stale and old. Amen? And we've been studying that growth framework, discipleship progress that we understand as comes so often in stages when we go from sinner to saint. Saint to servant, we start to serve, we start to realize that it's not just about us, what God's doing in us, it's about Him using us to minister to others and be a blessing to others. Servant to sons and daughters, and we've talked about that. We've even got a little picture here today. Last week, we were still looking at serving with our gift stage, you know, so that's that service stage that we come to. We begin to realize that God has gifts in our life and has touched. And we just touched in last week on the fivefold ministry leadership gifts. We saw those gifts from God are just like the motivational gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They are also not to us, but through us. Remember that about the gifts. Remember, you talk about the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts that God gives to us. They're not just to us, they're through us. In other words, they're for others. They're the gifts that keep on giving if we allow ourselves to be moved that way. So very important that we see that. You know, and of course, the fivefold gifts are for serving God's people. They're leadership gifts for serving. You know, the gift comes from the Lord, and it doesn't come from Bible college. All right, those gifts you won't get a fivefold leadership gift by enrolling in Bible college. You might get around other people who've got that gift, who have received that gift, but you won't get it by going to Bible college. You can go gain a Master's of Theology or a Doctorate in Divinity or go and do a course somewhere, but it won't give you a gift. If anything, it might help you understand a gift that you do have, but it won't give you the gift. And still, you know, you can come out of there with doctorates and letters after your name and still not have a fivefold ministry gift, because that gift is given by Jesus. it very, very clearly it says that in Ephesians chapter 4. I heard the story of the theologian who went to a Ray McCauley church meeting that was in back in the 80s, early 90s, Johannesburg, South Africa. And following the service, this theologian with lots of letters after his name was discovered weeping. And someone asked him if he was all right, and when the guy had kind of composed himself and he was ready to answer, he said it wasn't so much that he'd been touched by God, but he was so sad at the realization that after all of his years of study, his doctorates and master's degrees, he knew he didn't have what the pastor had. He knew he didn't have that gift on his life, and it was sad. He was sad because he realized he couldn't get it by his much study. A sad day for him to realize that, but still a good day to realize that as well, because then you can go on recognizing what gifts are on your life and that study doesn't get you those gifts. And we then just touched in a little bit on ordination. Ordination then is an event that fivefold leadership should be able to speak of, you know, and that's that recognition of men, when men lay hands on you and recognize the gift, recognize the calling and the gifting of God. And here's the point about ordination. I'll just say that you don't want ordination if the gift isn't being given by God. And usually, you know, most church circles, most denominations, there'll be a recognition of the gift and then an ordination to confirm that there is a gift actually in place. And of course, the commissioning then, and we talked about that a little bit there last week, the commissioning is, just remember the word mission, because that's what it is. It's a mission. So you get fivefold ordination and then commissioning, and different callings, different places, different contexts in which you are called into. Fivefold leadership is always a pulpit ministry. Why? Because it's a function that equips the church. A fivefold ministry leadership calling is always a pulpit ministry. God will prepare you for that, get you ready for that, and it's exciting. So last week in our Sunday service, we did a head count, we had a show of hands. We actually had 6 ordained pastors in the house with us last Sunday, but only 2 that were commissioned here at Victory Life to the pastoral leadership. So we just made that distinction between being an ordained pastor and being one who's been commissioned and set into a calling, a leadership calling here. And that was Pete and Rose. Those were the 2. And we talked about that. We made the point that it's okay to be ordained and be between commissionings. That's okay as well. So we appreciate that, you know, some are maybe heading toward another commissioning into ministry. They've been ordained in the past, but heading toward another sense of calling from God to do a thing, a mandate from heaven, and then a commissioning. So of course, why we need to understand that is because the fivefold gift in ministry needs to be understood, and particularly when we go on to talking about sons and daughters, because we see them as the top of the stack as far as maturity goes. You know, some would say, but wouldn't you call fivefold leaders the top of the stack as far as maturity goes? No, not at all. And that's so important, because then that means that we can all be living at the highest maturity level as sons and daughters. Can I have an amen? We can, you know, we don't have to go off to Bible college or think that you've got to be a fivefold leader to be at the top of the stack maturity-wise, because if you're a son and a daughter, you're walking and operating as God called you to be at your highest level of maturity. Sons and daughters have, most importantly, the Father's heart. We teach that here at Victory Life Broome. The Father's heart is having, you know, they have the mind of Christ, if you like. They're walking and talking with God. You'll see their relationship on their life, that they're wanting that, they're wanting more of that, they're being drawn into the heart of God. And that's the picture of maturity that every single one of us here should aspire to. If we're not living that way, that's okay. God will keep drawing you to it. He'll keep knocking on the door, if you like. He knocks on the door of our hearts, asking for that relationship, that deeper relationship, that intimacy that we all are entitled to. Someone, as I said, would think that pastors really get that, you know, that's the pinnacle. But no, and it's so important for us to see, because, you know, the beauty of that truth, that it's sons and daughters at that top of that maturity level, sets us free to be who we were all called to be. sons and daughters. And John explains this in his gospel over there in John chapter 1 and verse 10. It says, you know, speaking of Jesus, John says, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, talking about the nation of Israel, came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of blood, nor of the desire or will of man, but of God. Talking about our relationship. It's a heart relationship. We are sons of and daughters of God from the minute we are born again. From that second that we're born again, we become sons and daughters. Right from when we go from sinner to saint, we are sons and daughters. Okay? Right from that point of salvation. And it's through being sons and daughters that we give our best service. I'll say that again. It's through being sons and daughters that we give our best service. So we're talking about, you know, serving the Lord out of that heart for him. You know, when we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, we're birthed into relationship with God and, you know, the Father as his children. We want to approach that not religiously, but, you know, relationally. Amen? That's how we want to pursue that. That's how we want to chase that relationship. You know, where our relationship with God the Father is experienced in its fullness as we turn to him. And, of course, go on to maturity, developing a sensitivity to his heart. That is where our best service comes from. His heart. Get this. Prophecy comes from that heart that's connected to his. Prophecy's not a trick that we learn. All right? It's as we hear from the heart of God, as we're connected to him. That's where prophecy comes from. Amen? Amen. It's not a little trick that we learn, a little switch that we turn on and turn off. The gifts of the Spirit operate as he wills, but it operates through the heart of God to our heart, from our spirit, and that's where we pick it up. You know, we talk about hearing from God. His voice, when you hear his voice, it's like no other. Isn't that right? It's like no other, and you can hear it in a noisy room. You can, you know, sort of, you could be in such a noisy room and still hear the voice of God. Why is that? Because it's not to your physical ear, it comes to your spiritual ear, and you'll hear it. Or in the case of a picture, you'll see it. Eyes closed, and boom, the Lord just gives you a lovely picture. But all those come from a connected heart. The gifts of the Spirit function out of a connected heart to his. Sons and daughters are called to it, being channels for his love and power, and of course his gifts flowing through our lives. You know, it was a revelation to the Jews when Jesus came, speaking of his relationship with the Father, representing Jesus as God the Father. That was a revelation to the Jews, and they didn't quite get a hold of it. Religious leaders despised Jesus because of it, and they couldn't even say the name of God. And you know, such was their religious approach. The name they used was developed because they couldn't use his name, and so they used Yahweh. But Jesus came into the earth demonstrating that you can know the Father, fulfilling the New Testament covenant promise of direct relationship with God. That's what we're called to. Hebrews chapter 8, I like it. It says this in verse 10, "For this is my covenant I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and inscribe them on their hearts." Now, this is where we start to walk in his ways because he's of relationship, that heart-to-heart connection. "And I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will one teach his neighbor or his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me." What's that? You know, they will all know me. What's that talking about? "From the least of them to the greatest, for I will forgive their iniquities and remember their sins no more." That's how we've been allowed to come into that relationship. "But all will know me," and that speaks of intimacy, that word know. Of course, the relationship we have with God the Father as sons and daughters starts as soon as we come into faith in Jesus Christ. That's where it starts, that relationship. You can know from the very beginning of your walk with the Lord as a brand new, born-again Christian, just been given a white Bible, you know, and you know, your new day as a new Christian, and you can know his presence. You can know the sense of his heart in your heart and be blessed by it. Galatians chapter 3, it says there from verse 26, you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. You are all sons of God. And whenever it says just sons, just make sure, ladies, you add daughters, all right? So just so you don't feel left out when it just says sons. It's talking about being children of God, sons and daughters of God. You're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You know, and there's a lot of talk in our society at the moment about what constitutes privilege. All right, I just want to talk about that for a minute. Watch out for that conversation, because here is the ultimate privilege. And it comes from the ultimate lineage, sons and daughters of the living God. That's where our primary privilege comes from. Don't forget it. Don't let someone talk you out of that privilege, because we get it from the minute we come to faith in Christ Jesus, and is the ultimate privilege. Sons and daughters of the living God. It doesn't matter what your ethnic background is. It doesn't matter about the color of your skin. We are all one in Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Amen. It's so important that we get that. There are some who are trying to see a division in society, but we need to bring them back to the kingdom value of being one in Jesus Christ. Amen. And not be moved from it. All of us will begin to live our lives in the reality of being the children of promise. We'll see all the privilege we want to. We'll see all the privilege that we would possibly desire, just simply by recognizing that we become one in Christ, and that we have a lineage that brings us into the very promises that God made to Abraham, that all of the families in the earth would be blessed through him. Amen. And we come into that in Christ Jesus, and it's a blessing. The privileges of royalty start to flow down to each of us. Our inheritance as sons and daughters of God is eternal. We will go on in eternity, you know, time after time. You know, we will go on, blessed of God and in the family of God. It's very important that we appreciate and understand that today. I was watching my time and also just watching the volume level coming from the crying room. So last scripture, okay, everybody. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 to 3. And it says this. And behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, Sheena talked about when Jesus returns, when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself. There's that ongoing work of sanctification, salvation, being made every bit whole. Look what it says. And for we shall see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. So there's that ongoing work of becoming more and more and more like Jesus. It's so essential that we live out our Christian lives as sons and daughters, and that reality of being in family with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You know, with a revelation that it is not a relationship designated for heaven, and when we get to heaven we'll be like family. It's a relationship designated for now. It's kingdom reality that we should be living in and walking in. This side of heaven, so important. And this side of the return of Jesus. So let's press in and pray, church. Find God's heart in all matters of life. If it's so that we can have his heart, have his perspective, and see from where he sits. It's a great vantage point in life, is to have his heart and see as he sees. Amen. As sons and daughters. Can I have an amen this morning? God bless you. Always receive that. But we're all ambassadors for Christ, and it's so important that we walk as sons and daughters, not just as a religious people, but as people in relationship with him, as family. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we again thank you for this time today, Lord God, and just coming around your word, Lord, and spending time, Lord God, in your presence. Lord, we thank you for your word today, Lord God. We thank you, Father, it's a lamp unto our feet, a guide unto our path, Lord God. Lord, it shows us where we are. And Lord, even shows us and gives us hope of being able to go where your word says we can go, Lord. So Lord, we pray, Father. We pray together today and just acknowledge that we may not be where we need to be. But Lord God, you're working with us. You're working with us right where we are, Lord God, and bringing us to where we need to go. Through your word, Lord God, by your spirit. And Lord, we thank you today, Lord God, that we are all here today, sons and daughters of the living God. Sons and daughters of the creator of all creation. And Lord, we thank you that it's a family relationship. And we can know your voice, hear your voice, Father. And Father, see as you see. And Lord, we ask your blessing, Father, upon each and every one of us here today. Lord God, your children, Lord God, on earth, here today, Father. We ask your blessing, Father, for this week that we're entering into, the working week, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would lead us and guide us concerning those around us. Lord, that you would give us a heart, Father, to love those around us, Lord, and care for those around us, Father, as brothers and sisters, or brothers and sisters that are soon to happen, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would use us as a witness and as those ambassadors for Christ, Lord, as we go around the duties and responsibilities of our working week, Lord, and the things that are ahead of us. Lord, we ask these things today in the mighty name of Jesus, and thank you, Lord, for your ministry here today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.